It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day in your day. The refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, the Ministry of Torso. Happy New Week. It is the 9th of April, if I believe I am correct. Yeah, well, time is moving forward. Jesus is coming very soon. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's Psalms 122, verse 1. And the Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118, verse 24. May God bless you today as we move forward. It's time for our opening prayer. At this time, we will just bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the love that you have for us, a love that will not let us go. We place our dependence upon you. We want to praise you and extol your great majesty and power. And we know that you will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves and do in us what we cannot do by ourselves. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My dear friends and loved ones, it is time for us to have our opening song. It is It's About Time.
It's about time for the It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ for thee. It's about time.
Father, be with us as we study this wonderful chapter. We ask for your presence to be with us. We thank you for all of your great mercies and for promising to guide us into all truth and a truth, therefore, that sets us free. Be with us this day, that it will be a memorable day, a wonderful day, a day of victory, a day where Satan's plans for us will fail because your plans for us succeed. In Jesus' name. Let brotherly love continue. Now, there are three things, brothers and sisters, that the Bible tells us to continue. It says, let brotherly love continue. If you go to the sanctuary, you find that that is represented as the golden candlesticks, because you let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let brotherly love continue. If you study that concept of what we are to continue, you would go then to Colossians 4:2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That is represented in the sanctuary, in the altar, with the altar, or by the altar of incense, where prayers ascended through the incense. You would also go to John 8:31, and it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So that is represented in the sanctuary by the table of showbread, because thy words, it says in the Bible, were found, and I did eat them in Jeremiah. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name. The Bible says, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. And that's in the book of Job. And so we find, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. John chapter 4, verse 4, I believe it is. So, my friends, studying the word, we are to continue. So continuing in the Bible study, prayer, and sharing of our faith in good works, helping others, service, medical missionary work of other types, that is what keeps, that's what we're told to continue to do. And continuation is, in other words, the word sanctification is a continuation of God with us. And so we are sanctified in the holy place. We're justified in the outer court. We're sanctified in the holy place wherein lie those furniture. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You see, brothers and sisters, we should have the spirit of hospitality. We should be willing to bring people to our homes or be somewhat hospitable in other ways where we can be a blessing to people. That's what we're supposed to do. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You know, some people have joined a church simply because they were friendly at that church. I don't think you should join a church simply because they're friendly, but I will tell you this, if they're unfriendly, you surely aren't going to join. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Friends, we should not neglect those who are in prison, in jail. Some people are in jail honestly and innocently, and some are not. But the bottom line is, whether they are or they are not, we should still minister to them. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And so the act of sexual intercourse was intended only for marriage. It is honorable. That bed is undefiled. Whoremongers, adulterers, however, God will judge. My brothers and sisters, we are to keep ourselves pure, and we can. Don't give even the first approach to danger. That's what will help you in that way. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have Jesus, so we don't need anything else. He will provide everything all in one package. So let's not be covetous, my brothers and sisters. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's a powerful, powerful statement of faith. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's Hebrews 13:6. I think we should memorize that, especially in these last days. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. God is telling us that we should respect those leaders who share the word of God with us, considering the end of their conversation. My brothers and sisters, I grew up learning how to be respectful of people. Sometimes they didn't always act respectably, but we still learn to respect the position. We have a society of disrespect. You know, it is fashionable to be rude to a police officer, call them names, and so on and so forth. That's not biblical, friends. Now, that doesn't mean you have to give up your rights. That doesn't mean you have to answer questions. But you can still be respectful to them. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. My friends, God does not change. You can a companion scripture, I believe, is in Malachi. I think it's in Malachi chapter 4. Let's see. Don't see it there. What if it's in Malachi 3? Yes, Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. The principles that we see in the Bible are still the principles that we need to live by today. How God dealt with people in the Bible is how God deals with people today. Once you understand the principles, obviously, God we're not under a theocracy only. He has allowed sub-government to come in, so God does not judge with swift judgment as they often did in the Bible, as he often did in the Bible, because that's not what he wants to do today. But that doesn't mean judgment isn't coming. So he will judge, okay? And he will punish, and he will reward, and he will bless. So he is the same, my friend. Notice this verse 9. Notice what is in verse 9. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrine, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And there's a lot of strange doctrines. A lot of strange doctrines have come into the church. Here is one. The word Trinity means that there's only one being, and it manifests itself as the Father when it wants to. It manifests its Son when it wants to. It manifests itself as the Holy Spirit when it wants to. Any church that has adopted the Trinity, that's what you adopted, because that's what it means. Now, you can claim that you teach something different, and I'm not against three beings. You see, you have a lot of people that fight against the Trinity, and they say the Holy Spirit is not a being. That is not substantiated, friends. But guess what? We're not supposed to focus on the nature of the Holy Spirit. Leave that alone, okay? But the bottom line, my friend, is that there's plenty of evidence to suggest that it is. Even Melchizedek was the Holy Spirit. He had no father. He had no mother. He had no beginning. He had no ending. And he's not Jesus. So it can't be, and he is the priest of the Most High. So it can't be the Most High. So it can be only the Holy Spirit. So the bottom line, friends, there's plenty of evidence that the Holy Spirit is a being. Nonetheless, whether you think he's a being or just some kind of influence from the Father or the Son, the bottom line is that the word Trinity is a false doctrine, and that's what that means. Now, you can say, I believe in the immortality of the soul, and you can say, well, to me, the immortality of the soul means that I die and I'm in the grave, and then I wait to the resurrection. But that's not what immortality of the soul means. Words have meaning. Churches adopted the Trinity because they didn't want to be considered a cult. And it's a false doctrine, my friend. Again, believing that there are three beings is not a false doctrine, but calling it a Trinity is. Trinity means one being. That's what it means. Okay? People try to change names. Oh, a man can mean anything. Or I can be a man. I was born a man, but I can claim that I'm a woman. You know, we have all kind of things that we can say we change. But that's what that means, friends. It's a false doctrine. It's a strange doctrine to say that we don't have to follow the word of God. Just have a good time in church and dance and let the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God guides us into all truth, John 16:13, my friend. That's what the Bible says. And so if you're not following truth, if you're not staying in the word, if you're just emotionally rousing the people, that's false. That's false teaching. That's strange. That's why doctrines that go along with that have come into the church. A doctrine that's strange is that you don't have to obey. You can't overcome sin. All these doctrines have come into churches, brothers and sisters. These are strange doctrines. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God provides pardon, power, and when he comes, you're going to be in his presence. Three things the gospel promises. And most Christians want to claim that presence that's coming, but they don't want the power. They just want the pardon. We want to keep sinning and getting forgiven, sinning and getting forgiven, sinning and getting forgiven. That's not how it works, brothers and sisters. God wants to, he's preparing a people to be victorious so he can take us to the kingdom of heaven. We will not be morally changed when Jesus comes. You will already be locked into whatever state you are locked into when your probation closes, my friend. False doctrine. Many of them have come in the church. False doctrine to teach that all the tithes must go to one place. That's not what the Lord does. That's not what the Lord says. Some of you wouldn't even support Jesus. You wouldn't. You wouldn't support Jesus, my friends, because he wasn't hired by the conference. All right. We have an altar whereof we have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. It says we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat. I'm sorry. Which serve the tabernacle. So basically, in the new covenant, that whole system was done away with as far as its application on the earth. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I love verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. My brothers and sisters, we are to communicate, and it's a sacrifice to communicate. God tells us that's why marriages don't work, many of them, because one or the other or both stop communicating. We're supposed to be communicating, brothers and sisters. If you keep communicating, you'll stop fighting. You've got to stop communicating, start fighting. Now, yelling and screaming and arguing and over-talking each other, that's not communication. Okay, that's argumentativeness and ungodliness. Communication is where you listen. That's the art of communication, listening. And then both parties have to listen. One party can't just get all his or her words in and not listen. You need to close your mouth and listen. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul as they that must give an account. They may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Again, we should have respect to authority, even spiritual authority. However, you are not to obey the preacher when he tells you don't do what is right. You are not even to obey the preacher when he teaches you to do whatever he teaches you to do if you can't validate that that's what God has said yourself. God is not here promoting in this message arbitrary authority. He's promoting godliness and order in the church. But at the same time, we are to be like the noble Bereans. Paul said of them, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and then searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. I'm afraid for some of us, and I'm talking about some of us in Present Truth. If we ask a pastor a question and that pastor answers that question and he does not explain it from the word of God, many people, even in Present Truth, will say, okay, well, I'm going to side with the pastor. I don't side with men or women in any situation if I don't hear a thus saith the Lord. You got to show me from the Bible. Oftentimes, even Present Truth preachers are wrong on some things. And we just study for ourselves and show them where they're wrong, whether they admit it or not. You see, the greatest preachers are those who are humble preachers, who are willing to say, you know, I taught some things and I cannot substantiate that. I want to apologize to you because I used to teach something that I cannot substantiate from the scriptures. How many preachers will say that? I'm going to tell you what, I will, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I am just, I love God too much not to exemplify his character. God doesn't have to apologize because he's always right. But when we are not right and we represent him in high places, we should be willing to say, I was wrong. And when we're not willing to say that, we're not worthy of preaching, brothers and sisters. Pray for us. I like that. After he said, obey them that have the rule over you, pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. You hear that? We've got to be perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So God's working in you, friends. Therefore, you don't have an excuse because God is the one working in you. Well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to comment on the fact that it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. If you go to the book of John chapter 10, let's see here. I'm looking for that verse where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Might not be in the right chapter. Let me see if I can find it for you. It's John 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There is another verse, I believe it's in John, where it says, I lay my life down, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing. But in the book of Hebrews, we just read that God who raised up Jesus. So how do we say, well, Jesus said he's the resurrection and the life. He said, I lay it down, I take it back again. I'll explain that to you in just a moment. What happened, brothers and sisters, is my understanding is that Jesus did everything at his Father's will. So when it was time for him to be resurrected, when he died, you can't kill divinity. So Christ's humanity was 100% dead, but his divinity did not die. We're told that, by the way, divinity did not die. So it is almost, if we had to, we can't fully explain it, and I think we'd be dangerous to try, but just to give a, I don't believe it's wrong to give a possibility, okay? It's possible, because we can't understand Christ's nature fully, that as he died, his divinity watched over his humanity. And then when the Father called, his divinity infused itself back into his humanity, and he raised himself from the dead. But it could be said that the Father raised him from the dead because he's the one who called him. Okay? So that is the best way that I can explain it to you as I understand it today. Again, I am not saying exactly that we understand the whole nature of how Christ could be resurrected, but we know that the Bible says God did it, and the Bible says he did it himself. And the only way I can explain that or understand that is that the Father called, and then Jesus, his divinity, infused itself back into humanity. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You hear that? The blood of the everlasting covenant, friends. Now, everlasting can have a pre, a present, and a post application. He is from everlasting, okay? He was slain from the foundation of the world, he said. That doesn't mean he died back then, but it was purpose that he would die. The covenant that God has, friends, is everlasting, and therefore the everlasting covenant is the only covenant God was interested in us having when mankind said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and then blood was shed, a separate covenant with the same basic criterion, except it had some things that were done away with, was now in play. They broke the covenant, but that didn't do away with the first one, which is the everlasting. The first one is called new only because the blood of ratification was spilled afterwards. The blood of goats and bulls came first before the blood of Christ. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel in Hebrews 13. We ask that you bless us as we have finished the book of Hebrews. We pray that we will remember the great high priest, our lovely, lovely Jesus Christ, who is ministering for us in the most holy place, rooting for us, sending the Holy Spirit to guide us, sending angels, hearing our prayers and representing them, even this prayer, to you in his name. Father, we just humbly surrender ourselves to such a wonderful Savior. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burdens away. I pray that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, we are going to come back and talk about how to heal the stomach. And it's time now for our transition song. It is entitled The Torso Song.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come. on our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. Praise God. All right, my friends, we're going to be talking about how to heal our stomach. You know, the stomach is an organ that we always have to use throughout the day. It's just constantly working. As soon as you eat breakfast, the stomach is not done. As a matter of fact, it's just starting, and it's got to be working for the next 4 hours. So the biggest thing that people do to not heal their stomach is never give it any rest. So that means if you eat between meals, that means you eat after you've eaten your meal, then the stomach is going to have to stop digesting what it's been digesting, start all over and bring what you just ate, trying to bring it to the same consistency of what's already in there. And so it just never gets a rest. We need to let it go through its thing, cycle, and give it about 4 to 5 hours of rest. I'm sorry, eat and then wait 5 hours before we eat again, my brothers and sisters. Two meals are better than three, actually, unless you're doing heavy, heavy physical labor. So a two-meal plan gives that stomach that opportunity to rest. They have a fancy name for it. They call it intermittent fasting, but you do it automatically if you eat two meals a day. All right, friends, stop drinking with your meals. When you drink with your meals, you water down the digestive juices that are helping to break your food down. So then the stomach has to work harder because it doesn't have the strong digestive juices because you watered them down. that hurts your stomach. So don't eat in between meals. Don't drink with your meals. Don't eat too late at night. When you go to bed, your stomach is working on half the battery power that it normally has, yet it has twice the load because we pack a whole bunch of stuff in there, and that's a burden on the stomach. Okay? So certain things, spicy foods, we shouldn't be partaking of. A lot of, caffeinated foods, those kinds of things, that hurts the stomach. Want to mention that a lot of times just fasting is very helpful. And one of the stomach problems that people have are ulcers and gastritis. And I want to share with you a product that I would recommend to help your stomach be healed. It's called the Tummy Soother. Now, those of you on Facebook, you see me showing it to you. And also, you see a link. It's the second link that's in the comments, thetorso.org/product/tummy-soother-herbal-extract. Okay? Check that out. If you find that you have a weak stomach, tend to feel a little irritation there in the stomach, might have been diagnosed with a little H. pylori, which is a bacteria often present when you have ulcers and gastritis, check out the Tummy Soother to help you. It's got golden seal and myrrh and some other things. Adding to this, you might want to try to get some cool cayenne. Cool cayenne is basically cayenne mixed with ginger. I would do it in a capsule. We don't carry that right now, but it's something you can definitely get online and at health food stores. So those are things I would recommend that you do to heal your stomach, okay? Don't forget to check out this. And by the way, there is our sale is still going on our website for herbal extracts. So herbal extracts, which are normally $25, they're $20, but you have to put TORSO20 in the coupon code. TORSO20 in the coupon code, it'll take $5 off every herbal extract. This herbal extract, which is a month supply, is $20, not $25, if you use the coupon code. We encourage you to use the coupon code. Some people have been purchasing things and not using the coupon code. We appreciate the extra donation, praise God. And the sale may not be always, but we try to do all we can in these difficult times to help the saints. Do get what we need, okay? So definitely check out the Torso Tummy Soother. Blessing. If you're overseas, contact us. We'll probably have to just look at the shipping, but you would still get the $20 price. All right, that being said, it's roll call time. I believe we have Bermuda on the line on Facebook. We also have South Carolina on the line. That's on Facebook. We have on the call Delaware. We have Delaware again. We also have Ohio. We have Iowa, which I understand may be in Oklahoma. Praise God. And we have Georgia on the line as well. We're here in Pennsylvania, and we also have Indiana presently on the line. All right, friends. God is good. Phone lines are open. What's your pleasure? Talk to me. Press *6 if you'd like to share anything, have a comment, question, testimony, prayer request, anything. It could be on any subject. It could be a health topic. It could be a Bible topic. Whatever you'd like to share, we'd like to know. All right, we got Sister Lenny on the call. We'll take her call at this time. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. I just wanted to share, I went on a little journey on Friday. I had been asking God to give me new people to pray for, whether I knew them or not. So Friday after the broadcast, I went out grocery shopping. I usually go early. And I went grocery shopping, and it just popped in my head, everybody that comes my way, speak to them. If they're passing by, whatever. Just say hello, good morning, something. So the very first people that I spoke to, I was going into a store, and they were getting out of their car the same time I was. And I said, good morning, and they looked at each other and kept on going. They didn't speak back. And I said, okay, that's okay, and I kept on going. And when I got into the store, I kept speaking to people, saying good morning. And a lot of people were so surprised. They turned around real fast. They say, oh, hi, good morning. They was like excited. Mm-hmm. So as I continued to go to each store, I kept doing the same thing. And every person that I spoke to either seem surprised or kind of excited, you know. And so I continued. I know I try to keep up with the count, and I think I kind of spoke to maybe like 30 people.
Wow.
And so as I'm coming, get ready to come back home, and I was talking to the Lord, I said, Lord, I wonder why they appeared to look like a couple. They didn't have to be, but they looked like a couple. And so I said, isn't that amazing? Out of 30-something people, only two people didn't speak back. And it was like the Lord said, and they're the ones you need to pray for.
Amen.
I got so excited. And so I said, Lord, help me to do that every day. Every day, I don't go out every day, but when I do go out, I have to go, you know, amongst a lot of people. Help me to pray for them. Help me to reach out to them, speak to them, say something. So I really thank God for that, because I know that was Him who put that in my head. I want to pray for new people. So I've added these people, even though I don't know their names. God knows who they are. And I added them to my prayer list, and I started praying for them, like, right away when I got home, because I didn't understand, oh, those are the people you're supposed to pray for, you know. So when the Lord brought that to my mind, I started it. So I just thank God for that. I really do. And I want to pray for new people. So, you know, He led me in a direction that is a good direction. And so I want to be able to do that. But I want to do it every time I go out. Thank you.
Amen. I'll tell you what, sis, you'd be surprised. You just never know where that will take you. I was mistreated one time and defended. It wasn't like my life was at stake or even my physical body was being hurt, but in some way I was mistreated. And someone who I had spoken to, who I didn't even know, came to my defense. And they said, well, that's that guy that always speaks to people in the park. You leave him alone. Exactly, police officers, and it was a judge that told them to leave me alone. So the bottom line is it's a blessing. All right, thank you very much. We've got
a
few other callers. God bless you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep speaking to people. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, we have.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and Sister Maria. I just wanted to say I had an encounter yesterday where I met someone who says, he was telling me about different types of Jewish people, and that he's one of the Jewish people that believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And I was like, wow, because I'm thinking, I thought, you know, and he was saying there are different types of Jews, and he was describing, and he had, you know, information I didn't know. So I was taken back. I was like, I thought Jews didn't believe in Jesus, you know. And then I realized that some Jews do. Some believe he's a great teacher, but not necessarily Messiah. But he says he's a, I forget the name. But anyway, it was just interesting to know that. And I just was taking mention of that. That's all.
Amen.
And I wanted to say, too, for a long time, I have been saying for years the word Trinity. And I thought that meant the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I did not know until one time someone said that's a Catholic term. And I was like, what? I didn't know. I thought Trinity meant, you know, the Godhead. So I have to get more study on that myself. But not that it's salvation, because I believe in Christ, but I'm just saying that I just thought out of ignorance that I really thought that that was the Godhead. That's what that meant. So I have to study more, but I just wanted you to know I was one of those that was saying Trinity and didn't realize it.
Yeah, well, I mean, to your credit, that's what we were taught. I mean, even within a certain Sabbath-keeping persuasion, they use the word Trinity, and they refer to it as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as three separate beings in most cases. However, the point is that we did not originally use that term. The term has a specific meaning. We adopted that term so that the church would not be put in a book that was being written by evangelicals, where they were writing a book naming cults. So we took on a Catholic term in order to avoid being in a cult book. And we should not take on a Catholic term which has a Catholic meaning. Salvation means a certain thing. So if salvation means a certain thing, then I'm going to only accept salvation if that's what I mean. I'm not going to take a word that means something that I don't believe in and then try to change its meaning to twist the meaning to, you know. So there was compromise as to how. So if you go and look in the fundamentals, but if you look at the fundamental beliefs, you'll see if you read all of them, it'll talk about a triune God and it'll call him a he. That is Catholic, because a triune God, he, that means a God of three, he, that's wrong. That's Catholic, because that would suggest one being. So even in the fundamental beliefs, even though they may teach that there are three, within the fundamental beliefs, it has more of the Catholic version of, which is the original version of what that word means. So I don't use the word because it means something, and I don't accept that meaning, even though people twist it to make it teach the Godhead, as in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as separate beings. I think it was a compromise. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. Okay. I still got to say, I tell you, because when I came from Pentecostal background, it's confusing. As you know what I'm saying? It's confusing for me. So I said, Father, I believe in you, Jesus. You know I do.
Yeah. No, the Father, the Son.
You get what I'm saying? Because it's so confusing.
Yeah. Well, the whole purpose, the reason why it's confusing is that they took on a Catholic term. If they had never, Protestants did not accept the Trinity. It was a Catholic term. They only accepted the Trinity as when they started compromise. And then they try to twist it by saying, well, we don't believe the Trinity is the same way the Catholics believe it. Well, then you shouldn't have taken the term.
Wow.
That's my point.
Do you know how many Okay.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the confusion is real, because that's a lot of, you know what I mean, for people that came in like myself, you know. So I have to go back and, you know, on my own, that's what I'm saying, and just read. I'm just saying, I wish they hadn't have did that.
I'm telling you, oh. I wish they hadn't done it either. Amen. Well, God bless you. All right. We're going to go ahead and go to Sister Winston at this time. Good morning, Sister Winston.
Good morning, Pastor. I want to thank you for the message today. And I also wanted to say what Sister Lydia was saying, because that's what I do when I go out. I speak to people, and my whole prayer list is so long. I get their phone numbers, and a lot of them have problems, health problems, you know, and I speak with them about that, and I try to encourage them to let them know that they might need to change what they're eating and things like that. I just make a suggestion, you know, because even in the church that I attend, they still serve meat. And even, you know, in the last Sister White book, last event, you know, she said it's time for us to come off of these animal products and everything, but mm-hmm. it's hard for people to change their lifestyle, I guess, because even with my family members, I try to say, you know, you shouldn't eat that because you would be healthier if you don't eat it. And, you know, like I said, I have not eaten any fresh food since 1974. Now, I have been eating dairy products, but I can attest to the fact that dairy products give you a lot of information, you know, me, because I can speak for myself because I know what it does for my body. But, you know, God has blessed me in so many ways, and I just was rejoicing to hear what Sister Lydia is saying, because that's all she's doing, the same thing that I do, and I have met so many people in so many different ways of walk, and you know, even I see people, homeless people. I speak with them, and if I, you know, give them a little change or whatever, and ask them their names and tell them that I'm going to pray for them, and they're happy to know that. And I just thank God because He has blessed me in so many ways in my family. So I'm asking that You would continue to keep us in prayer, and that He would continue to direct me in the path that He would have us to go, because I know that probably we're going to have to be in smaller groups than one day, and what we know from each other, we can pass it along to the small groups that we will be in if we will not be able to use the methods that we're using now to keep in contact with each other. So I hope everyone will have a blessed day today, and thank God for all the blessings that He has bestowed upon me.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you so much for that. That's a beautiful thing. You know, we don't know what people are going through. People are hurting. People are struggling. People have bad marriages. People have children wayward. People losing jobs. So just to know somebody cared enough to say, hello, how are you? You know, even if they don't know you, it does bring joy. I think that's what Jesus would do. All right, my friends, God is good. At this time, we will close out with our closing prayer. My wife, Andringa, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank You for this time of worship and fellowship. And now as we go about our day, we ask that Your Spirit will continue to abide with us. And Lord, help us to study these things out for ourselves as we continue to meditate upon Your word. We thank You for the testimonies that were given today, and we just ask that You will continue to help us all to be examples of what You, of how You are and how You were, Lord, when You were here among men. Let us remember to be to be sympathetic and to have to exert our love and our concerns in a friendly way towards man. And we just thank You for what those who have shared with us today have reminded us that these are things that we need to be doing. In addition to that, Lord, we can also offer a track of some sort, a study, a book to give to them, and just let them know that this is just a gift just for them, and that we hope that they enjoy the reading of it. So we just thank You for letting us be able to do these things and be able to honor You as we help in co-laboring in Your harvest. And we pray that You will bless every heart in a special way and grant those petitions that have been that are silently being submitted to You. Well, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will.